Hello and welcome back to another episode. So this episode I'm kind of excited for because I like this time of year, I guess you could say. A lot of people start to flood the gyms and, you know, the average gym goers, they are like, oh, all these New Year's resolutioners, they're going to die off. And statistically, they're correct. But I'm hoping that this is going to be different because you're listening to this. So my goal for this podcast is to give you a plan, a step-by-step what you should do. Start with this, move to this, move to this, move to this, and slowly progress on from there. Because what happens is most people go to the gym for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I think five is like the most that these most New Year's resolution people will go to the gym for, and then they quit. Why do they quit? Because you don't see results in 3 to 5 weeks typically. Typically, it takes somewhere between 8 and 12 weeks. So if you can just survive 8 to 12 weeks of doing what I'm going to lay out next, your chances for success are so much higher. So I want you to think about that. And I'm going to say it over and over again throughout this, that 8 to 12 weeks. Because the discipline, first off, is when you can make a short-term sacrifice for a long-term reward, in my opinion. I don't know what the actual definition of it is, but I think you're disciplined if you can sacrifice something right now for a better reward tomorrow, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 4 months from now. And if you can get through the first 8 to 12 weeks of not really seeing any results, you're going to have a much better rest of your entire life because of it. So let's say you're ready to start. Where do you start? I tell everybody the same things. When it comes to your diet, just start with cutting out sugar and alcohol. If cutting out sugar and alcohol is too difficult for you, start by cutting back. And it can be so simple. This doesn't have to be rocket science. You don't have to throw everything away. You don't have to raid your cabinets. It would be good if you did, but what's going to happen is 9 out of 10 times you're going to feel a craving, you're going to get one, and you're going to be like, oh, I've been doing really good, so I'm going to eat another and another and another, and then, well, what's the point in going to the gym? I just ate all these chocolate bars or whatever it may be, whatever your sweet tooth is. So just start by cutting back. If you drink 4 nights a week, try to drink 2. If you drink 2, try to drink 1. If you drink 1, try to drink every other. There's always a way that you can cut back. If you only drink once a month, try to drink once every other month. Whatever it may be, just try to cut back alcohol. I say alcohol because there's just absolutely nothing productive that comes from alcohol. That doesn't have any benefits for you. There's some people out there that love to say a glass of red wine is great every day. It's not. Like, there's some health benefits to that, but there's also health benefits to eating an apple every day, but you won't do that. So let's just pretend that alcohol is the enemy and you should cut that back. Number 2, sugar. Again, something that just doesn't really, unless you're a diabetic, it just doesn't provide any sort of nutritional value to you whatsoever. So if you can cut back on sugar, it's going to be very hard to cut out sugar, but if you can cut back on your sugar intake, and a way that I recommend you do this is downloading a food tracking app. One that I like to use and one that I usually recommend is called MyFitnessPal. You can basically, if you pay for it, you can take pictures of the labels and it'll just log the food for you and you can see how much you're eating. I don't always recommend that you do this right away. It depends where you are, I guess, in your diet. Like, are you already eating pretty good? Are you eating like garbage and you're revamping everything? So if you're eating like garbage and you can easily like go, okay, yeah, I'm drinking soda every single day, I'll just cut back drinking soda. And like, that's an easy solution, right? Because if you're really overweight and you just stop drinking soda, you're going to see a result from just that. As time goes on, of course, like, you have to make the right decision over and over again. If you're already doing pretty good and you're like, I really don't think I eat too much sugar, like, I don't know how I could cut back on this, then I would recommend you start tracking a little bit just to see where you're at, and not to freak out when you see your numbers, because you're probably eating worse than you think you are. I do this with everybody, and every time someone looks at it, they go, wow, didn't realize that. I think the latest one a client said to me was chili. Didn't realize chili was unhealthy. Yeah, well, that's why I say track things, because now you see it and you go, oh, wow, there's a lot of fat in this and not as much protein as I thought. I thought it was really good for me because it was meat. Yeah, it's meat, but there's all sorts of other shit mixed into it. So first thing, start by cutting back on sugar and alcohol. The next thing, and this is all in the same like startup. This is just the same starting week. Carve out time for exercise. And I word it like that for a couple different reasons. Number one, the biggest thing that people always say is, I don't have time. It's the biggest lie you're ever going to tell yourself. It's bullshit. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to your friends. You're lying to your family. You have time, you just have to make the time. When you put it on your calendar, all right, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m., I'm going to the gym, I'm going for a walk, I'm going to do an at-home workout. I don't care what your workout is at first, just do a workout. And you don't have to start with 3 days a week. Again, this is something where it would be based on the individual. I'd have to talk to you and say, okay, what is realistic for you right now? Do you have kids in sports? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? What nights are you free? What nights could you make free? So I'm just saying Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 p.m. as an example. If you can start with 1 day a week, start with 1 day a week. If you can start with three, start with three. It depends on your activity level and your fitness of how many days I would recommend you start with. If you're someone who's fairly active, I would say you could start with three. If you're not super active, I would probably recommend to just start with two and do two full body exercises twice a week for the time being. But the crucial part is making sure that you carve out time. Because if you don't, and you say, I'm going to work out on Monday, and you say, yeah, I'll go before work, and then your alarm goes off on Monday, and you're like, ah, man, I really don't want to go to the gym right now. I'll snooze and I'll go after work. Well, you had a stressful day at work and then you got to come home and you got to make dinner or whatever else you have to do. Maybe your car was out of gas and you're like, oh, I got to go get gas, because whatever excuse we can find, right? And then you're like, I'll just go on Tuesday. And then Tuesday comes and something else pops up. But when you actually put it on the calendar, it's on your mind, you're thinking about it, and you are so much more likely to actually do it, especially if you have a spouse. Like, always communicate, hey, I'm going to go to the gym at this time on this day. Don't blindside each other, because then you're just going to have arguments about it. Try your best to just put it on the calendar and try to keep it consistent. I understand a lot of people's schedules can vary week to week, but do your best to try to keep it as consistent as you can, because eventually it's just going to become routine and it's going to become habit. And that's kind of the goal for all of this, is to make it habit, make it routine, make it second nature. So the next steps from here, remember, we've established that we need to have 8 to 12 weeks of this. And we need to, in order to, before we start seeing results, and once we see results, we're going to be very happy and we're going to want to keep going. The first few weeks, you're going to be going off motivation. The next few weeks, you're going to be going off discipline. So we've established we need to do that. We need to have less sugar, less alcohol, and we need to set a time frame for our workouts. What our workouts are, truthfully, don't matter at this point yet. If you're just going for a walk, that's great. Good job. If you're going to the gym and pushing yourself really hard for an hour, that's also great. Good job. Next steps. And I would recommend you do this until you've nailed it. So if that takes 2 weeks, if that takes 4 weeks, if that takes 5 weeks, do this until you've consistently done it for at least 2 weeks in a row. Don't go, oh, well, I went 3 days this week, but I only went 1 day this week. Let me move on to the next step. You have to have consistency before you can move on. From here, and there's always more steps. Like, I'm going to eventually have to stop this thing, but I could do this for hours because there's always more steps. But so the next step from here is, okay, I feel pretty good. Let's say you've done two full body workouts twice a week. Well, let's change what you're doing now. Let's add a third day. Maybe it's a cardio day. Maybe it's a new type of split. You go to a push-pull legs. And again, this varies completely depending on who you are, what your goals are. Maybe you're adding in another walk. I don't know what that looks like, but if you did 2 days a week, try to bump it up to three. If you did three, try to add another little short cardio day in there, but try to increase the exercise just a little bit. Diet-wise, this is where I would say really focus on what you're tracking. And now start to look at your macros, start to look at what goals you have for yourself, and decide what kind of a split you want to be into with your macros. Macros are carbs, fats, and proteins. That's what makes up like a macronutrient. Micronutrients are your vitamins and minerals. So macro-wise, and again, this is going to vary person to person, but usually you want to be in some sort of like 50, 30, 20, 40, 40, 20, like some sort of a split like that, protein, carbs, fats, or sorry, carbs, 50%, 30% protein, 20% fats, or 40 carbs, 40 protein, 20% fats. That's a little bit more in depth to like explain that is just, when you look at how many calories a day your body is burning, and there's a formula for that. I've talked about it in other episodes. you do that formula, you figure out, okay, if I have to eat 2,000 calories a day, 4 calories is a gram of protein, 4 calories is a gram of carbs, and 9 calories is a gram of fat, or vice versa. 1 gram of fat has 9 calories, 1 gram of protein has 4 calories, 1 gram of carbs has 4 calories. So when you put this into your MyFitnessPal app or whatever app you decide to use, you'll be able to see the percentage of protein, carbs, and fats. So try to get yourself into some sort of a split. So you notice that I'm not saying to go on a diet yet, because that's probably the hardest, most difficult part. And you want to make sure that this is definitely something that you're sticking with. You don't want to discourage yourself. You want to get through your 8 to 12 weeks, start seeing some results, and then maybe start talking about going on a diet, because you want to take the next step. Mind you as well, like when you're new to the gym, all you got to do is breathe on a weight and you're going to see some sort of progress. Whether you're really skinny and you're trying to gain weight, or you're heavy and you're trying to lose weight, all you got to do is show up for the first like year and you're going to continue to see results. It's after that first year that it becomes really, really difficult. But mind you still need to work hard and you still need to push yourself. Like you can't literally just go into the gym, look around and go, oh, all right, I made it here, I can go home now. You do have to increase your intensity week by week, month by month, year by year, in order to continue to grow, because your body will just adapt to the stress that you put it under. You never want to be stuck in the same routine, especially too long. I mean, you could do it for maybe a couple weeks, but your body's going to adapt to that and it's not going to do what it once did for you. But so get yourself into some sort of a 40-40-20, 50-30-20, some sort of a split with your macros that makes sense to you, that fits your goals, fits your needs, fits what you're trying to do, and learn how many calories a day your body is burning. And once you can get that, now you have a calorie goal and a macro goal. So I don't want you meal prepping or anything crazy like that yet. I mean, if you feel like you can, then do it, but don't try to bite off more than you can chew, because then you're just going to end up giving up and you're not going to want to do it anymore. And then everything that you just did just kind of went to waste. So once you have your split, once you know how many calories you're burning a day, spend a couple weeks like that, get yourself to track. And this tracking thing is not a forever thing. I'm going to get to how to get out of that soon, but continue to track every single day. The easiest thing to do is eat the same type of food, like eat the same foods. Like if you get yogurts, eat the same brand of yogurt. Don't keep switching it up, because then you got to keep tracking it. If you eat eggs every morning, like try to eat the same amount every morning. This way you roughly know about where you're at as far as your macros go. Because if you eat one day and you have this exact same thing the next day, well, the macros didn't change overnight. Like it's the same exact thing. So you don't have to track that. You should, to stay in the habit of it. But that's how you would eventually get out of that. So now, as far as your workouts go, we're on to the next step here. As far as your workouts go, this is where you want to start looking at intensity, because you're going to the gym 3-4 days a week. If you can get to 5, get to 5. But 3 to 4 is plenty good enough for most people, for what the goals are, for what people want to do. 3 to 4 is plenty, but now you need to look at your intensity. You need to start looking at how you're doing your workouts. You don't want to do a really hard leg day on Monday and then do a really hard leg day on Wednesday, because your body hasn't even recovered enough yet. So now pay a little bit more attention to your splits, how you're working out, and your intensity. So when I say intensity, what I like to use with my clients is this, it's called the Borg RPE scale. I recommend you look that up. It's Borg, B-O-R-G, and then RPE, rate of perceived exhaustion. So it either goes on a 1 to 10 or a 6 to 20. For some reason, I'm weird and I like the 6 to 20. Almost everybody else uses the 1 to 10. But it's basically saying, once you complete an exercise, like when you finish your set, how difficult was that for you on a scale of 1 to 10? If you're semi out of breath, maybe you're out of 6. If you can hold the conversation right after, maybe you're out of 4. If you're like almost dying, maybe you're at a 9 or a 10. But the intensity matters so much more than how many reps you're doing, how many sets you're doing. Like your muscles don't actually know anything. They just know resistance. They don't know how much weight you did. They don't know how many times you did it. They just know, ooh, this is tough. Oh, this is getting tougher. Oh, this is really tough. That's the only thing that your muscle actually knows. So resistance, right? So if you go to the gym and you just want to move more weights, but your goal is to be in more of a bodybuilder's style body or to lose weight, the number of pounds that you have in your hand has almost nothing to do with it. It matters when you're looking at strength and powerlifting. That's really about it. I mean, it's good for you to increase the weights because that's a way you can increase intensity, but don't let your ego get you injured. I see this a lot, especially with younger people, 18, 19 years old, you want to deadlift 315, but you look like a cat taking a shit and your back's about to be blown out the second you try to pick that up. Don't recommend doing that. There's no point. If your goal is to get bigger and stronger, just keep doing what you're doing with the right form. You need to learn it the right way before you start going heavier, because if you go heavier the wrong way, that's how you get hurt. Anyways, so as far as sets and reps, I have another entire episode on this. Again, this would vary so much based on the person, but the key is getting at least 6 to 8 sets per muscle group, at least. I would recommend doing more like 12 to 14, but again, it depends so much on the person. Like, I'd have to really like talk to you, work with you or something like that to really give you like an actual, hey, do this for this. Because again, what you do during your day, like what your work is, all that plays a factor. I mean, if you're someone who sits down in an office chair all day, like you don't have to do as much. In theory, you should do more, but you don't need to do as much because your body's so used to sitting and you don't want to overwork yourself too soon. And don't take, a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to overtrain. Like, you got to train before you can overtrain. I want to make that very clear. Like, it's very difficult to overtrain. Usually the people who are overtraining are like younger kids that just started working out and they're seeing some progress after the first few months and they just want to go nuts. And there's nothing wrong with that. I respect it, but just don't get hurt. Don't overtrain. So again, looking at the intensity of it, moving yourself more towards that 7, 8, 9 on the Borg RPE 1 to 10 scale after your set. You shouldn't really be able to hold a conversation with somebody. You should be focusing a little bit more on your rest times now. You don't want to rest any more than like 45 to 90 seconds, depending on what you're doing, depending on what your goal is. If you're powerlifting, bodybuilding, trying to lose weight, if you're trying to lose weight, the best thing to do really is like stay in circuits, keep your heart rate up, keep your heart rate more elevated throughout your workouts. And again, it depends how much weight you're trying to lose and what your end goal is. Cause there's some people that want to lose weight, but will do a push pull legs and that works really good. Cause at the end of the day, if you go to the gym and you work out and you train hard, you're going to lose weight and you're going to add muscle. It's that simple. It's just getting there and doing it. So I'll recap again a little bit. Number one, get yourself to 8 to 12 weeks of doing this consistently. You'll start to see results and you're gonna want to continue to move forward. Number two, cut back sugar, alcohol. Number three, carve out time for the gym, for exercise, for workouts, whatever it may be that you're going to start with. Carve out time every single week in your calendar. Number three, start to track. See where you're at with your macros, where you're at with your calories, how many calories a day you should be eating. Number four, start looking at how can you add a day of exercise? How can you step up in your exercise? Number five, now you're looking at the intensity of the exercise, the rest time between the sets, and you should be starting to progress a little bit from here into, you're not really using your phone, you're not at the gym for social hour, you're focused on your workouts, you're coming in to have a workout, you're not going in and texting and working on your thumbs, you're not going in and working on your jaw, talking to everybody, you're going in, working out. And then from there, it's really just a matter of getting your diet in line from here. So how to do that effectively? Slowly but surely, start with having a good breakfast every single day. Do that for a week or two. Move on to having a good breakfast and a good lunch every single day. Do that for a week or two. Move on to having a good breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day for a week or two. And as you're doing this, I'm not saying don't have your snacks, don't have a little bit of this, don't have a little bit of that. I'm just saying focus on a good breakfast, a good lunch, a good dinner. Continue to do that. Continue to build off of that. Eventually, what's going to happen is your taste buds will start to change. And instead of craving a piece of cake or something like that, you're going to start to not necessarily crave chicken or ground beef or something healthier, but you don't mind it as much. One of the best examples that I give that happened to me, after I had been doing this for a little while now, I was probably in it for like 6 or 7 years of like actually meal prepping, doing a good diet. I was like, okay, what else can I improve? And I was looking at the foods that I was eating. I was eating yogurt. However, this yogurt was high in like artificial sugars and sweeteners, and it just wasn't the best yogurt. So I switched over to a different brand of yogurt called Sigi's. And I do highly recommend Sigi's because it's more of a skyr. It's not Greek yogurt, and it's a lot healthier. The first time I ate one of these things, I literally gagged. It was disgusting to me. And now I eat them all the time. I eat probably 2, 3, sometimes 4 a day. And I went to a friend's house who had those old yogurts that I used to eat, the Danone brand ones. And I grabbed one and I ate it and I almost gagged on that one. But it was the opposite effect like 6 months before. But my taste buds adapted to it. So just because you don't like something right away doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to like it if you continue to kind of force yourself to eat it. Now, that also depends with how intense you want to be with this, because you don't need to work out 4 or 5 days a week and have a very, very strict diet if your goal is to just look a little bit better and have a better image and feel a little bit better. All you got to do is go to the gym twice, maybe 3 days a week. You don't even have to diet and you'll lose a little bit of weight. You'll feel a little bit better. You'll have more energy. You'll be a little bit happier. It depends how far you want to take it. I mean, obviously there's people that do this professionally. There's people that just go to the gym to talk. Like, it depends on your goals. And this is, again, where I would like have to kind of sit down and talk to you. Like, what do you want to do? What is your plan? It's hard to come on a podcast and talk to the masses of what you should do, but that's basically the general layout. I'd say every month or so, you should be saying, how can I improve? What can I do better? Don't ever get to a spot where you're like, oh yeah, no, I'm good here. Like, I'll sit like this for a little bit. See if you can improve your intensity in your workout. See if you can improve your diet a little bit. Even if it's just making a small change, like, yeah, you're eating yogurt and that's really good. I wouldn't discourage you from eating yogurt, but see if there's a better yogurt. I never would say to start with that. I would never say, let's nitpick your yogurts at first. At first, just drink less alcohol. Eat and drink less sugar. It's that simple. There was another point I was going to make, but I forgot it. Sorry, I'm sure it'll come back. The little things are going to add up. Don't go crazy at first trying to revamp this whole diet. Just think to yourself, cake or apple? It's that simple. You know you should eat the apple, right? Everybody knows, don't eat the cake, eat the apple. So just do that at first. You don't have to have this crazy meal plan diet. You don't have to have meal preps from Monday to Friday. All you have to do is make the right choice over and over and over again, and you'll see result from that. It doesn't have to be 100% of the time. If you do it 80% of the time, that's improvement. Take the small wins. Take the little things that you're doing right. If you go to the gym, pat yourself on the back, celebrate it. That's fine. You're not gloating. You're not shoving it in anybody's face. You did the right thing and you should be proud of yourself for that. Good ways to measure progress. 1, pictures. Take pictures of yourself in the same spot at the same time. Don't take a picture of yourself in the morning and then come back and take a picture at night 2 weeks later, because the bloating, what you eat throughout the day, it's all different. So make sure you're taking pictures in the same spot at the same time, whether that's Monday morning, or Monday night, whatever it is. Just make sure that you do it that way. Another thing that I really like to tell people to do that's always a little bit of fun is put on a shirt that you've worn frequently or whatever, tuck it away in a closet, in a drawer, somewhere that you're not going to see it for a little bit, and then put that shirt on 3 months later and feel how different it fits. That one's really fun for people. I've had a lot of people go, holy crap, this shirt used to be so loose on my arms and really tight on my gut, and now it's like tighter on my arms and chest, and it's a little bit looser on my gut, and it feels really good now. That's a really cool one. Another thing, you can take measurements. You ever go like get fitted for a tuxedo? They measure your arms, they measure your legs, they measure everything. So you can take measurements of yourself like that to track your progress. Some people like to do body fat tests. I'm really not a huge fan of those, just because you can only get to a certain percentage before it's kind of ineffective and then you're gaining muscle mass. So it's hard to really judge that. If you're someone who's really overweight, like, you can use that and maybe that'll help. I usually don't recommend people use the scale. It's the scale and the body fat test are very hard to judge yourself off of. Because as you work out, especially as you weight train, what's happening is you're losing weight, but you're gaining muscle at the same time. So your weight could start at whatever, 150, and then next thing you know, your weight's 151, but you look in the mirror and you look like a totally different person. Now, this doesn't happen overnight, of course. It would probably be a year, year and a half, but the weight looks so different. So that's why I tell people to kind of stay away from the scale. If you're more overweight, then especially if you're overweight, like you can kind of get away with it. But if you're underweight, definitely don't look at the scale. It's going to be hard to really track your progress with that, especially if you're someone who's one of those like medium builds, like you're not really overweight, but you're not really underweight. You just don't really have a lot of muscle on you. You're someone who should never step on a scale, in my opinion. But people who are severely overweight, you can look at a scale for a little bit, but eventually there's going to come a time where that scale stops moving, and that's when you should start pushing harder. People who are underweight, same thing. You can kind of look at a scale. It's going to be harder for you, but if you're underweight, the goal is to just eat more. Yeah, I think that's about it. If you have any questions on this, I'm always open to answer questions. You can DM me on Instagram at @Nick_Kroll or at @RNFitness_training. You can go on my website, rnfitnessgym.com, and go to the Inquire for Coaching tab, and you can just fill out your name, phone number, email, and ask a question in there. That doesn't sign you up for anything. You don't have to do anything else. If you just have a simple question, you're more than welcome to ask a question that way. Not trying to just sell you on things. Yeah, I don't really have anything else, so I'll say thank you for listening. And like I said, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to help. And best of luck to everybody starting their fitness journeys. Hopefully in another year from now, you're encouraging someone else to start. Take care.